Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
Alright, man, it is episode 183, and I'm the host of this show. I'm Montego Bradley, and it's Vans on Patrol time! Like I said, I'm Montego Bradley. There is a title of the show, but I'm not going to do it just yet. I'm going to wait, because it's a problem. With me is the ever so sensitive one, being extra sensitive today, Miss Tiffobot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm doing great. I hope everyone else is doing great as well.
Yeah. Smooth. And with the smooth one is also here.
SMOOVE, spell smooth, not Wayne. Howdy.
All right. Now, cue that epic music over there, because we have guests on the show today, man. We got two guys, man. They got two podcasts. We got the Cosmic Geppetto podcast host and the Flash Gordon Minute host. And we have Brad and Jarth. Fellas, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome. It's a crazy Fans on the Patrol episode, because we're, as Jarth sort of said before, we actually are in patrol. I'm right now in the car with my entire family driving through Lancaster. So while this is going on, I'm passing horse and buggies.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, this is a first for this show, boy. Goodness gracious. Jarth, man, how are you?
I'm great. I am currently jet skiing down the Google River.
Oh, that's cool. So, the Cosmic Geppetto podcast. Fellas, where did that name come from? What does it mean? Fans want
to
know.
A lifetime ago, I used to do community theater, and I was in a play called Early One Evening at the Rainbow Bar and Grill that took place during the apocalypse, and a guy called Joe, who was actually God, showed up at this bar, and they were trying to convince him to stop the apocalypse from happening, and he said, it's like, what do you expect him to do? I'm not some sort of Cosmic Geppetto. And that was probably 20-plus years ago, and this term just stuck in my head. It's like, that'd be a great name for a band. And the name stuck with me, and when we started our podcast, it was originally called Movies That Marvel, because we were going to talk about the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
But then we pretty much talked about everything else other than that, and it's like, well, and we were also getting some great guests. And we would always have to explain to our guests when we invite them on. It's like, hey, I know it's called Movies at Marvel, but we're not actually talking about, you know, but we want to talk about your book, your movie, your band. And Jarth and I just had a conversation. Like, you know what? This name sucks. We need to change it to something else. And then we went back to that name from that play. So, yeah, it's really, we just like the term. It sort of has a nice ring to it. So we are Cosmic Geppetto.
Okay, well, nice. That's some super duper history here on Fans of Patrol. I thought you might have just been drunk or something. it got
well,
meaning.
Well, that too.
And then you guys had the Flash Gordon Minute too, which is real cool, because one, we love that movie. We did that movie on this show once, and that's how I think we ended up hooking up, because me and Tiff was on you guys' show, so that was a great time. So here we are with the extra duty crossover. So
that's right. We loved having you on the Cosmic Geppetto podcast, and you're right. I connected with you when I heard you on the
Cult 45
mm-hmm. podcast, mm-hmm. talking about Flash Gordon, and so I thought it would be fun to talk more Flash Gordon with you.
Well, what's so funny is Jarth was doing all this great work for that, and we keep saying, he's like, you know, Jarth, who, and we would just list the 20 things that he does for the show whenever we would mention him, and it's like, you know, we actually got to find a title for him. It's like, hey, he's the producer. It's like, there you go. Now we can just shorthand it. Because producer just becomes, he does all the crap that we don't have time or don't have the energy to do. So it's like, yeah, that's a producer thing.
All right, man.
Yeah, somebody produce us.
Let's get into it here, because one, we got some Bill and Ted news. We still got to tell the people about the news. We are also talking about a little Wonder Woman casting news. This is Tiffobot's news this week, y'all. And we also have actually some CW news. Ain't that funny?
You're welcome.
We got a game. We got a comic. What we doing, Tiff? We doing Kick-Ass, right?
Yep, number two.
continuing down that road. And we all went to the movies, man. We went to go see the Pacific Rim Uprising, and we're going to do a review discussion.
Yeah.
Fan service of Pacific Rim Uprising.
I didn't go to the movies, though.
God.
Lord have mercy.
This show here is just okay.
I didn't see it yet either. I saw it. I'm just saying.
Okay, you stole it.
No, see, you said that. I didn't say.
Okay, so we know that our guests can't hang around for the whole show, so they're gonna do the news and the game with us, and then they're gonna take off. So that's gonna be the end of that. So saying all that good stuff, you guys ready to get it on?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why. See, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5. So I'll be gone till November. Said I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl you I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November.
All right, man, we are back. And Billings Head 3 is in the mix. Tiff, what is going on here?
So it looks like they are saying they had a script and they've had it for a while and it's kind of in development hell, but that they're getting very, very close to potentially making this movie. And what it would be about would be, it's called Bill and Ted Face the Music, and it's kind of about how at the end of the last Bill and Ted movie, they were told they were going to make music that could save the world. And so now it's actually about how they haven't been able to do that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Well, first off, I loved the Bill and Ted movies. And I think, as opposed to Jarf, I loved the second one. But it was a ridiculous movie because by the end of the movie, they had formed the band that included an alien from another race and the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
And they were at that point showing that they had already had their success. But it is an intriguing idea. And, you know, it's Ted is definitely the role that Keanu Reeves was born to play, because in everything else you're trying to get her to get. And I like Keanu Reeves in a lot of his stuff. But in every other role, it's like he's trying to get around his Keanu Reeves-ness. Huh. And Ted's at the time, it's like, oh, that's basically him. guys definitely seem to want to do it. I saw the great interview. I think Entertainment Weekly posted some clips of them being interviewed, and it is funny that the guys really look like who Bill and Ted are, which it would be at this point where they're 50-year-old guys who still want to wear their rock and roll T-shirts, but they sort of have a bit of, you know, belly around the middle and look a little disheveled. So it would sort of be fun. Although, I just gotta say, there's a good chance this movie would be terrible.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I mean, yeah, there's always a good chance, but I'm in for it. I want it to be a little bad.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Tiff.
Bad.
The thing that I think makes it intriguing is the potential director, Dean, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Parasot, who was the director of Galaxy Quest.
Yes.
Because the way they describe the concept, that middle-aged didn't quite accomplish what you were destined to do, I think tonally is a good match for what was really good about Galaxy Quest, that it wasn't fully spoofed, that there was kind of a heart to it.
Hmm.
What else has he done aside from Galaxy Quest? Because was Galaxy Quest a great movie because he was a great director? Or did he just luck into something because it was the perfect amalgam of great cast, great script, and the right director at that exact moment? But every now and then, there's that director has a really good movie, and then everything else they do is just dog crap.
No, I have no idea.
Well, to be honest, yeah, I don't. I love Galaxy Quest, and I don't know anything about this director, and I don't know. So, shoot, all I know is that I didn't like Bill and Ted 2. I couldn't stand it. Hated it. I loved Bill and Ted 1.
The first one, then.
Oh, loved it. Now these cats is old. The only thing that is intriguing to me is this picture they put out with them in the phone booth. Do I really want this? Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, because it could be god-awful terrible and make Tiffany happy.
Yeah, do it.
But
well, also, does it need to be a movie, or could it be just something of, like they did not too long ago with the movie Love Actually, where they did a 10-minute bit for a fundraiser, where it was just all the characters. You got a little bit of a, you know, a touch base with everybody, but it wasn't a whole movie because there wasn't really a whole movie worth of stuff to do. Maybe a Bill and Ted's would be funnier is like a half-hour special on Netflix or something like that. I don't know if it has to be a movie. It might be more entertaining in a different format.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live skit. What about you, Smooth?
That's a good idea. I didn't know that they had that much success after Bill and Ted. They had cartoons. They had cereal. They had their own live-action TV shows and shit. I don't know. Yeah, I'm reading all this stuff, man, after, you know, Bill and Ted or whatever. However, I would like to see it just to be the curiosity in me, you know, to see if it will be anything.
Well, yeah. Talk about spinoffs. There was one of the Florida amusement parks. It wasn't Disney. It might have been Universal. Did like a Bill and Ted's Adventure thing that also included Superman. The thing was terrible and really homophobic because there was apparently like pink kryptonite that Superman was exposed to, and he became like a lisping, stereotypical homosexual. A Superman like coming out in like a thong underwear.
Wow! Oh my God!
That sounds terrible. On YouTube, it's horrendous. It's like, wow, how did this happen?
Right.
Somebody wanted some money.
Yeah. Who okayed that one?
Somebody wanted some money. Yeah. Who had some licensure? That's why. So I guess going around the whole room, everybody wants to see this except for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think curious. It would be worth a look.
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's not like I'm hoping it'd be good or hoping it'd be bad. I'm curious.
Okay.
See the train wreck. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
You do want to maybe.
No, that's the best way I can describe it, you know. But Keanu Reeves, he has some good chops though, man. He can, like you said, he's born for this.
Huh.
You know what I mean? He's born for this role.
Uh-huh.
Like my man said.
Okay. Yeah. I think he's more born for John Wick, but get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good at John Wick. Yo, he's good at John Wick, and he's good as Neo.
No, it's just, it'd be nice for him to get work. I feel like the last 30 years, he's been asking people if they're going to finish that because, so we can eat. But it'd be nice to see him. And, you know, and it was funny in the interview, he comes across as such an intelligent, thoughtful guy, and so does Keanu. I mean, Keanu definitely has a little bit of that, you know, surfer guy thing, but he always speaks eloquently. He just speaks like a really smart dumb guy is the best I can describe it. So, but yeah, I would like Alex Winter to get another paycheck.
Okay, all right. Well, Tifflebot, let's talk a little Wonder Womanish. What's going on over there?
Wonder Woman. It looks like they've cast the guy that plays Oberyn Martell and his Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
He's also in Narco. They've cast him in Wonder Woman, according to a source who knows about it but cannot speak about it yet. Well, which I thought was really like a weird way to say it.
Man, that's all over the news. I guess the internet has ran with this one.
That sounds like a White House leaker or something like that.
Yeah, like somebody has some behind the scenes news. And so there's really no we don't know like what he's gonna play or anything like that, right? It's just that he's gonna be in it.
We don't know who he's gonna be, but he'll fit right in with all those accents, especially if they go back to Ireland.
The mascara.
Whatever accent that is, because everybody's is different. So Smooth.
Yeah.
How you feel about this?
I don't even know this guy. I should know him.
No.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. He was the cowboy. He was the villain in The Kingsman.
Oh, okay.
He was.
Yeah.
He was the best friend in The Great Wall.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay.
Should be good. I'm curious. Who could he play? He's not gonna play Cheetah.
No, because of Kristen Wiig, which I thought was much more. Well, one, I think it's weird because she's a comedic actress, and two, I think it's bizarre that that's not something that, like, they're more interested in covering up this guy's role than her role, which seems like hers is a little bit more important.
Well, because Cheetah is never the big bad. She's a thug bad guy. You know, she's always a thug unless they're going to really change stuff with her, you know? Mm. I don't know.
What do you think they're going to do? Do you think they're going to do full Cheetah look? That I have a hard time picturing that in the Wonder Woman cinematic universe.
Well,
like cat lady with fur and stuff.
They've actually played around a lot with Cheetah in the past. So they had three or four different versions they could go with, including one point where it was a woman with who was able to command superpowered cheetahs.
Oh, that's terrible.
So I could almost see that sort of like almost a ringmaster sort of character where you have one Diana fighting this menagerie of deadly animals or superpowered cheetahs or something like that. So, you know.
Uh-oh, Brad's busting out the vocab on us again.
Okay, let me slow down. They can make it good.
I just listened to a guest appearance that Brad did on Bat Minute 89. That's a Movies by Minute podcast about Tim Burton's Batman. Really good. Y'all should check it out. And he talked about the denizens of Gotham.
Oh, yes, boy. That's nice.
He will bring the vocab. Watch out.
So, I mean, like, I guess this is, like, good casting news. Like, I mean, he's a good actor. It's a nice choice. It's just, like, hard to say whether he would be a good fit because we don't know who he's playing yet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the mystery man.
So, mystery.
So what you got in your bag there, Tiff?
The CW stuff?
Yeah.
That's my favorite news I've ever heard in a while. Because
let it roll.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about CW is that Montego always makes fun of me and says Tiffany loves the CW, and I don't. However, there's been some changes.
I love the CW.
The thing is that like I have been notoriously anti CW until like Black Lightning and also Riverdale, and now.
You have to wait.
No, I don't have to wait anymore. Well, I still have to wait, actually, because this Hulu Live or whatever it is isn't in my area and probably won't be. I guess it's like a different. It's not Hulu. Mm-hmm. It's like called Hulu Live or something like that.
It's probably going back to what Hulu started as, just a bunch of channels on a page, you know. Yeah. I don't know.
But I wonder if I have to pay for a separate app.
You gotta pay for everything now these days, Tiff.
I know. I would pay like $2 more a month to be able to watch shows the night of. Like that's what it seems like. It seems like a live, like a simulcast.
That's a good question right there. What about you, Brad? You gonna pay for live TV?
Nah, you know what? I don't even know when anything's on anymore. All I do is like come Thursday or Friday, I just go to my on demand. It's like, I guess there was a new episode of Arrow this week. Okay, let's play that. I don't know when Arrow plays any longer because I've gotten so bad at.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. What about you, Jar?
Well, I'm excited that they're doing it because of how it could boost the audience. They talk about being able to live tweet along with the show while it's on, and so I think that could be good. It's not going to affect my own personal watching because I DVR the things that I want to watch, and then a lot of the shows, like I'm a late adopter to Arrow, okay, and I can't sit there at night and watch Arrow because I enjoy it, but it's just a little bit too corny. But if I DVR it and then I watch it the next Saturday morning with a nice bowl of cereal, then you know it's got that Saturday morning cartoon feel, and then I'm in. So. I like to watch things when I want to watch them, but good for CW for getting this kind of boost.
Yeah,
I don't have cable. I just have Netflix and Hulu. That's why this is very, very important news for me and people like me.
See, I didn't know that, Tiff. I thought you had some kind of television.
Right. No, every time, well, we have like Netflix and Hulu, but every time that we watch something that came out that week, I buy it on Amazon.
Oh, wow. Yep. Goodness.
Yes.
What a colossal waste of cash, but...
Oh, Mr. I buy movies, even though I'm not sure if I like them before they were even released. I don't know if you can say that.
No, that's drunk buying, Tiff. That's when I've had too much to drink, and I just get button happy buying albums that you find yourself buying a movie soundtrack.
Ooh, this song's good. I'm buying the whole album. This album sucks. And the next morning, you're like, what?
Right. That's what happens, man. You wake up, and you're like, what? Why did I buy the so-and-so soundtrack? Why did I do that? Oh, God. Too many times. Stop drinking. Okay.
So when did I buy the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants soundtrack?
Oh, I haven't been that drunk. Smooth.
Yeah.
Do you care?
No.
I ain't think so.
Shit, that's so...
Tefobot.
Yes.
Would you like to hit our social media?
It would be my pleasure. For everything Fans on Patrol, go to fansonpatrol.com and you can see our past episodes, the show art that Montego's done, articles that are old, and I'm trying to write one, but I'm very slow. You can reach us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's an email where you can drop your suggestions for shows or comments or concerns or anything like that. We'd be happy to reply to those. If you're more comfortable reaching out to us on social media, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at fansonpatrol. And we love hearing from you guys. We love seeing the comments. So please keep those coming. So we're on Spotify, Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. Tune in and Spotify was the first one. But I like to talk about that one because it's new and it's actually really convenient to listen to your podcast on. And if you would like, leave us a 5-star review on any of the platforms that you listen to. It really helps people find us. If you leave a review, I will find it and read it out loud on the air. Hopefully that's something that we can do soon, because we haven't had one in a while.
Yeah, that's true. But we got a new comment. But fellas, which one of you guys like to do your social media for your shows?
I'll do it.
All right.
Yeah, that way I know it'll be right. So, Flash Gordon Minute is on Twitter at Flash Gordon Pod, and you can join the conversation on Facebook in our Flash Gordon Minute listeners vortex. See, as I'm talking about this, I'm tempted to slip into my voiceover. Flash Gordon Minute Listener's Vortex.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you should. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Why wouldn't I? And Cosmic Geppetto is a podcast on the Cheap Pops Network, so you can find it on, what is that, Brad? CheapPops.com?
It's Blocked. Blog Talk Radio/Cheap Pops Network.
We also have a Facebook page for Cosmic Geppetto, the Cosmic Geppetto Listeners Society, right, Brad? I should have just handed the baton to you for the Cosmic Geppetto stuff.
Yeah, all this talk about how you knew you were going to get the social media right, and here you are struggling. No, just dance.
Right, and we'd also love it if you rated and reviewed us for Flash Gordon Minute on iTunes. And if you have any ideas for the show, you can email us at flashgordonminute@gmail.com.
Perfect.
All right. Well, all I want to say is shout out to the Nerd Podcast Mafia and all those podcasts in there. I do want to say shout out to Victor Aberrand who commented on our Podbeam app. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember what he said. He said, it looks like Graham got his wish. Go back and listen to episode 2 of Fans of Patrol with Infinity War.
Wow.
Now, saying that, I want to say nobody ever go back and listen to them episodes. Okay. Do not go to the first episodes and listen to them.
You've given me that warning before.
Holy shkamoli. Man, it's unlistenable. And you won't even recognize nobody. I'm the only person that's on the show from back then. And it was terrible.
The impact of you telling people not to go back and listen.
I'm doing y'all a favor. I'm not playing around. You don't want to listen to that. You might not even like
that's
this show
the same
no
thing
more.
I say to my wife.
You might not even like it anymore.
You might not even like it.
If that kind of works, then we should be like, don't leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Don't listen to our current shows or talk about us to your friends and family.
Listen. Don't go to episode 2. Saying that, man, I think we're done with this segment, man. So we are going to take that breakaroo, and we're going to be right back. Is it game time, Tiff?
It's game time.
It's game time. All right. Be right back.
Yours is yours, don't be late.
All right, man, we're back and it's game time, and I have no idea what bag of goodness our lovely TempoBot has decided to whip up for us.
I bet you it's about robots.
I bet you it's about robots.
Oh my God, it is about robots. You're so smart.
Thank you. I think I have my moments.
What do you got?
It is Fans in Translation about robots.
Fans in Translation about robots. Okay.
About robots. So I have two questions for everybody, and unfortunately they are not arranged easy to hard, so good luck.
Well, wait a minute, Tiff. This might be somebody's first time listening to the show, so what is Fans in Translation?
Oh, okay. So Fans in Translation is where I take the plot of a movie and I put it into Google Translate to a random foreign language, and then I translate it back into English, and you guys try to figure out what the movie is.
We only got two shots.
Yeah, man.
Oh, God.
Pressure's on there, dude. Are you ready for this? Because you're not good against visitors.
No.
Yeah, your record sucks.
Thank you, Dwayne.
So I guess we will start with guests.
Guests first. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So we'll start with Jarf.
And what's the genre of movies?
It's movies about robots.
Movies about robots, right. Okay.
Movies about robots.
Or just with robots?
Well, with robots. With robots. But mostly, it seems like mostly about kind of, not like, okay, with robots.
Okay.
Jeez, Pete.
Hey.
Okay.
Just trying to keep my mind straight because I hate to lose. Let's go.
All right, Jarf.
Ready.
The special bond between Robot and Prodigy, who joined a team of friends to create a high-tech heroic band. And this was translated into Khmer.
Okay, I know this one.
since we're only answering two questions, I will allow steals.
It is Avengers: Age of Ultron.
It is not. Oh. Does anybody want to steal?
Do we lose points if we get it wrong? If we steal?
You damn right you lose points.
You're not the host, man. You
say I think we should probably lose points if you get it wrong.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm not stealing it.
I got it. It's Big Hero 6.
It is Big Hero 6.
Wow, that was great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My wife just called in. We just yelled. We have three kids. We've seen that movie so many times.
Excellent.
I protest.
Okay.
Right.
I do see your logic there. That does make sense to me.
Yeah, but he called a friend over there.
Okay, so Brad will ask you a question. So right now you have 1 point.
All right.
This was translated into Polish.
I protest, but go ahead.
Okay, settle down. The ancient battle between two robots, heroic and evil, arrives to Earth with the key to the ultimate power of a teenager.
What? So easy.
Transformers.
Yes. So you have 2 points now. Okay.
I'm thinking too deep.
I protest too.
Yeah, I was too.
All right. So, Montego, now it's your turn.
You can go with Smooth.
Nah, go with you.
Okay.
All right, fuck it. Oh, sorry.
Okay, all right. Smooth.
Uh-huh.
This was translated into Turkish. A young boy becomes friends with a gigantic robot who wants to destroy a paranoid state agent.
My giant robot or something like that?
Can I steal?
Yeah, you can steal.
Iron Giant.
Nice.
I can't believe I didn't steal. I knew that.
So here's one for you, Montego. You ready?
I knew that. Why am I sitting here just looking at you?
Cause, dude.
Shoot. I just got caught in a daydream.
Yep. You lose.
Okay.
Damn it.
You'll lose this game.
This was translated into Macedonian.
Go ahead.
One of a group of experimental robots in the laboratory is an electric shock, suddenly becomes intelligent and runs.
Oh, is that iRobot?
No.
I got it.
Okay. Short circuit.
Yes, See? Short circuit.
I was about to say.
Johnny Five's alive.
Okay, Jarf. In the foreseeable future, collecting a small garbage, the robot unknowingly goes into space traffic, which will eventually determine the fate of mankind.
Wall-E.
Damn it.
Yes.
Perfect. I was waiting on that one.
That was a really good translation. That didn't really mess it up at all.
No. I have one later that's pretty terrible.
It'll be mine. Go ahead.
No. Okay. So, Brad, this one's for you. This is your last one. A young programmer was selected to take part in the experiment and electronics by evaluating the positive effects of respiratory medicine by taking AI?
Lawnmower Man.
No, but I think that's a good guess.
I have nothing to lose. I'm gonna say, was it? Damn, what's the shit? Not. Chappie? Is it Chappie?
No. Also, I think a good guess. Anyone else?
I've never seen Chappie. No, I don't have nothing.
All bigger, right, you guys. The movie is Ex Machina.
What?
That's Ex Machina.
Okay, yeah. That's,
yeah. What does that have to do with respiratory medicine?
See, that's the thing. You take your chances with the translations.
Right.
They do what they will. So this one is for Smoove.
Word.
In 2035, a technophobic pope investigates a crime that could have been transmitted through a robot, which creates a greater threat to humanity. That's translated into Punjabi.
That's the Will Smith one, right? Is that iRobot?
Yes.
All right, I got it. iRobot. All right, I got it. Right.
Good one.
I got one right. I'm not the dumbest in the house.
All right. Montego.
What the hell you mean there, sir? You starting something over here.
Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
We're going to put these microphones down in a minute.
Go ahead there. I'm
going to the back room.
Hey, does anybody know what everybody's score is?
I think Brad's winning with like three or four.
Yeah.
Okay, Montego.
Yes, madam.
As a war between humanity and monster sea creatures, a former pilot and trainee earns a seemingly outdated special weapon in a desperate effort to save the world from the apocalypse.
Pacific Rim?
Yes, that was translated into Swedish. Okay. It's an easy one. I feel like I have more questions. How come? I feel like I thought everyone got two already, right?
Yeah, I got two.
Yeah, if you got more, go ahead.
So the winner is Brad.
Yeah.
Play that music.
You did really well.
Visitors.
Really good job.
Wonderful.
Visitors. Yeah, the visitors.
Well, I love these movies, and I usually don't make sense. So this is a game made for me.
Great.
Perfect.
All right.
All right.
Yes. He won, Montego. Clap it up for him, man. Uh-huh. Be happy for him.
I'm happy. I'm happy for no one.
Come on.
But me.
You're never happy for anyone but yourself.
You damn right.
And then
good job,
happy.
Brad.
You're too happy.
You did a great job, yeah. Man. You did a good job. You dusted
all
everybody.
Right, Smoove. Shit.
Yeah.
That was a great game. Thanks, guys. That was fun.
It was fun. Good game, Tiff.
Yeah.
Wasn't it a good game, Montego? Okay. Didn't you think so? I thought so.
Damn you, Smoove. Enough.
That's my favorite thing that's ever happened. Oh my god, hilarious.
Shit. Look, no matter what, I want to live in this world where knowing about random robot movies can make you a winner.
Yeah. And that is the world we've lived in for at least 5 to 10 minutes.
Well, I haven't experienced that, so I wouldn't know. So let's move on. What do we got next? We'll be right back we'll be right back with our next segment.
Radio sucker, never play me. Triple shade of black, then my bleach should never fade me. They say he crazy, New York raised them in the 80s. Killer catch administration, gangster renovation. Born out isolation, Asian ill communication. Asian Marvel, fiber acting, pestilential, microscopic soul, sonic remedy. Clinic right in the street, operating in the dark. Surgery of wounded heart, come together. Pill apart, come together. Smoking on something good, praying for something better. From out of better, never rocking for forever, ever, 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 ever. Forever, ever, ever. It's still a secret even when you tell them dumb dummies.
All right, man. So we are back, and 1, 2, 3, Tom's is just us now. So our guest had to, you know, truck on, and so, you know, see y'all later. And so what we're going to do now, man, we're going to talk about the comics. So, you know, we said we were going to do these comic series. So we've been doing Batman White Knight, as everybody know.
Yep.
And we thought about doing Kick-Ass, because we know that the fanboys of Kick-Ass is hating this damn series because it's not what it was.
Right.
It's completely different. They should have called it something else, but I guess they just threw the Kick-Ass on it just to have people buy it, because it's really not Kick-Ass, but it's a good story. So the first one was. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do Kick-Ass 2, issue number 2.
Yep.
So Tiff, would you like to set this up? This is your choice for this week, and it's a good choice, and I think we should finish this one off. But what we got? What's going on in the land of Kick-Ass?
So in this book, she is actually fulfilling her wishes to get money. So what she's doing is she's robbing bad people, like drug dealers or underground, you know, bad guys, taking their money, and then she's giving half to charity and half she's keeping for herself. So we see her taking the money, and but then she finds out that, you know, with going to school and stuff, it's still too much money. She's still not making ends meet at her job, so she wants to do another job. But she's trying to avoid being a superhero. She just wants to get the money for herself, so it's like, but also do good with it. However, she kind of runs into this kid who's getting beaten up at home, and so is his mom. And she tries to ignore it. She tries just to do her money thing. But at the end, she can't. She goes and interferes with the family and kicks the bad stepfather, or maybe he's just a boyfriend, out of the house.
Boyfriend.
And she, when she leaves, she says, it's because I'm a superhero. So now I think we're kind of going to see her transition from just doing it to, like, make money, into actually being like a vigilante superhero style.
I agree 100%. So, man, you know, that doesn't happen often, that I'm reading a comic book and I got anxiety because I'm reading this thing and I'm like, oh, they're gonna catch up with her. I literally had anxiety reading this book. I was like nervous for her, you know?
Yeah.
The stuff that she had going on. Artwork is great, John Romita Jr. The writing is excellent, Mark Millar, and it's a beautiful thing. And I just couldn't believe she went through that much money. Well, she got $40,000. She took $20,000. I'm like, what the hell school is she going to?
She paid her debts. Yeah, she had debts.
Yeah. Right. She had a lot of debts.
Yeah, got kids.
Yeah,
kids add up too.
It didn't take long before she was gonna need some more cash, right?
Yeah.
And she started, like, looking around. And next thing you know, she casing people.
Right.
And then the fight scene. My goodness. It was redonkulous, if you ask me. I just, woof, with the biker and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of the, like, and I think that's the kind of hallmark of Kick-Ass is that the scenes are very, very violent.
Yeah, it wasn't over-the-top violent, though, like the movie was.
No, though. But it's very...
brutal.
True to form. But it's hard. It's kind of... hard to look at a little bit, but I mean, like, if you were beating someone up, it is, like she says, there's a line in this comic that says it's harder to knock someone out than you think. It's like, if you hit someone, they'd probably be stunned for a few seconds, but it's not like they're passed out.
I actually appreciated that, because we see it in movies all the time. They go for 6 hours.
Like what kind of military training have you had? You got all of this equipment and everything, and you just go out like that. Yeah,
I tell you what I would like to do. What? I wish I knew how to do the Vulcan neck pinch.
That's not real.
That'd
be cool.
People would be knocked out all over the world. It'd be a trail of bodies where I was at. People like we know who did this. People just walking around the corner. Anyway,
this had a Frank Miller style too.
Yo, what do you think about this move?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, like you said, the violence. I like the scene where she does get the biker guy. This, you know, and she slams the brakes and makes him, you know, run. You know, slam his bike.
She effed him.
This is and you know, it's realistic. You know, it's a good stick up kid story. I like it because it's, like I said, it's realistic and it's more believable. You would do this.
The biggest character flaw I see is that she got all them babies at home. That's my.
She got three. Is it three of them?
It's a bunch of them. Remember when they went out to dinner and stuff?
Well, I know it's a sister. Well, her sisters, you know.
I said, man, she got a lot to lose.
She got three. Yeah, that's what makes it so, yeah.
You know? Man. I mean, you know, Tiff, I'm sitting there like, she got a lot to lose, man.
That's with those kids. And I mean, and she, like, one of the things I really like about this book is that, like, they do a really good job with making her, like, she really cares about her kids, and you can tell without it being, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, she's, but they're at super risk, because this drug dealer thing is just beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know. If I had kids, I don't think I'd be able to risk their lives.
You cannot.
Like, my life is different.
Oh, man, you can't lead them back to them, you know?
And that's what's going to happen. You know that. I mean, eventually. And then, like, and especially if I have to pay back $40,000 that got stolen from me, I'm going to find out who took it.
What?
I'm gonna do my best.
That's a scene that I kind of didn't like.
What?
Because, like, the one dope dealer told the other dope dealer, he was putting them on notice.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, you know, I mean, the dude works for you. That was only one night in the club, right?
Uh-huh.
They can make that money. This dude could probably come up with that money and pay his debt without it being a threat.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, you should have $40,000, dude.
You mean like he, of his own personal money, he'd have 40 grand.
Well, that's not really what I was talking about. He's one of your earners.
Yeah.
Something happened, right?
Right.
And they know that it was something else. Right. Now, I don't know if that's just intimidation, motivation, but if you have an earner, look, I'm talking like I'm a mob boss. If you have an earner, you know that earner is going to play his money back. He is going to pay that money back. But they want it like right now. And I'm like, well, why would you do that?
Oh, so you're saying he's worth more as an asset.
Yes.
Well, you can't
we can't have these type of mistakes happening because then it'll get contagious and somebody else is.
I guess. But
so we gotta lean on you.
What kind of relationship do you have? Because, you know, not all everything is putting a gun to somebody's head. You know, you'd be like, well, I know you're gonna pay the money back. I know, but for your reputation, you probably better go find this person.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? So the way it went down, I kind of didn't appreciate. I was like, oh God, it gotta be that, you know, because that's so cliche. But anyway, it's still good. Still good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, dude was a badass, though. She had to shock him through the eyeballs.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, she really had it. Like, but, you know, I think that makes sense. Because I mean, I hate to, we could talk about this forever, I think. Mm-hmm. But, like, she's small.
Yeah.
She's still strong, but she has to do some stuff that, like, that makes sense against, like, a bigger opponent. Like, she's using, she's kind of using the handcuffs as a brass knuckle. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's using a taser. She's, using some stuff to, like, aid her.
Yeah. Well, Smooth, I know you appreciate that because you hate when you see the 110-pound lady beat the big brute and stuff in the fisticuffs.
In a battle of beatings. Well, the thing is, like Tiff just said, it can be done, but you're gonna need some assistance, a little assistance.
Well, that's why I like Atomic Blonde so much because it wasn't about I'm stronger than you. It's about I got to be more cunning than you because you are way stronger than me.
Right.
Yeah, and so like then you see stuff like Nikita and every blow, a woman that sit up there exchange blow for blow,
right,
and he got about double the pounds, and it's like that just wouldn't happen.
Exactly, that's my hope. Yeah,
it's just like if I was fighting a bigger dude. I am not going to trade punches with him because I'm going to die.
You're going to have to really box. You're going to have to hit and move. Yeah, stick and move.
Run.
Stick and move. Right. Exactly. Stick and move. Get the hell out the way.
Stick and move.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it, man. We recommend.
Oh, yeah.
Recommend.
And we'll check it out on the next one. All right. So saying all that, man, that's it, man. We're gonna be right back. Oh, it's main topic time.
Main topic time.
Time for some Rock'em Sock'em Robots, man. All right. We'll be right back. Bye. All right, man, we are back, and it's time for the big Rock'em Sock'em Robots, man. I love the original Pacific Rim, man. I can't
love it.
Get enough of it.
I couldn't tell. A little sarcasm there.
Yes, sir. It's just such a magical, robotic fest of monstery goodness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The robots are so cool in the first one. The Jaegers are so cool in the first one, and the human interaction is really what holds it all together.
The monsters are so cool in the first one.
So cool. Like, I mean,
like that gorilla one, you know, the one that kind of moved like a gorilla with the big stomach, and you know, they were fighting, mm-hmm. That scene when they're walking down the street with the boat, you know, with like a bat, you know, mm-hmm. the oil tanker. Oh God, I just love it. Anyway, mm-hmm. we're not here to talk about that movie, man.
Talking about the second one.
We're talking about Pacific Rim Uprising 2018, 1 hour 51 minutes action adventure. John Boyega, yep. Scott Eastwood.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Her name, Callie Spiney.
Spiney.
Byrne Goodman. Charlie Day, with his happy self.
The Charlie, yeah.
And a whole bunch of other young people we never heard of before. So, we all went to go check this out. We're going to go around the room spoiler free.
Spoiler free.
Tiffobot, your take on Pacific Rim Uprising.
I think it's because I love the first one so much that while I didn't hate this movie, I didn't really like it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Smooth Daddy. You got your own sound effects. I don't have to add that one later, right?
I was entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you entertained?
Yes, I was. I was entertained.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I love the first one so much, just like Tiff about, I preface it by saying that. I liked a lot. A lot about this movie I like. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. I had a lot of fun. A lot of fun with my daughter watching it when we were in the theater. Had a lot of fun. But for some of the reasons we had some fun, I'll get into with the spoilers part. Okay. But we had a lot of fun, but it had a lot of problems. It had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
I just want to say that John Boyega, he's a producer on this thing.
Oh.
Yes, yes. I heard that he produced this because he loved the first Pacific Rim so much.
Yeah, I didn't know he had money like that. That Star Wars money must be long and strong.
Here's the thing. Figures, we watched the show called... Oh, I'm sorry.
Get you an action figure. Get an action figure yourself.
Yeah.
See how much money you be raking in.
Wow.
We watched this show called... Well, not a show, but like there's a segment on the late night with James Corden. Called Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts, where like you either have to answer a question, like a personal question, or eat something really gross. Ew. So like, and it's really gross stuff, like
donkey
calves
dick.
Brains and stuff like that. And like bull penis. Like they have to eat weird gross stuff. So like and they ask questions like, who's the worst guest you've ever had on your show? Like questions that you can't, like it's hard to answer.
Right.
So like when they asked him, how much money did you make on Star Wars? He ate whatever, I think it was a fish eyeball.
Oh, I feel him like, yeah, you know, I'm not giving you that shit. Fuck out of here.
Oh, wow.
So he must have made a lot. Because if it wasn't a lot, wouldn't you say?
He probably made more on the second movie than the first one. Because they probably him and Daisy Ridley, they probably make good money, but not what they could, you know.
Right. Now they're like, oh, yeah, you it's earned like this.
Mark Hamill and them. The first Star Wars, they didn't make that much money. Right. You know,
yeah.
It was the second and that third one.
Right. You know? We struck gold here.
And Harrison Ford got paid half of what the movie made for the Force Awakens.
So, yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, man, let's hit them spoilers, man. Let's get into this stuff.
Yep.
So, man, you know, this movie's a little different.
A little bit.
I like
a lot different.
I like the way it starts, though, man.
I do too.
Strong start for me.
Yeah.
I like how
I really agree. I like the him being like scrappy, like play kind of like a playboy, like living in that mansion. I liked that part.
Yeah, I like the set, the scenes of being out there on the rim near the ocean where the monsters devastated, and then you have all these people. Just partying down.
Right.
You know.
Like it's the end of the world, baby.
I like John Boyega's real voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
God, he got a voice. I mean, it's so smooth. It's so smooth. Smooth is smoother than yours. It's smooth.
Damn, son. I gotta agree with you, too. I can't even denounce that.
You know, because when he's Finn, his American is a high-pitched voice.
Yeah,
That's how he does it. But it's real voice.
Yeah, right. his British, and he's got the kind of like, I don't know if this is true, so any British listeners let me know, but he has the like kind of like the more like punkish British accent.
You know who he look and he sound like? He sounds like Rockwell. You remember that?
So good.
Is it be like hell?
Yeah.
I see you standing now.
Yeah.
He look like him and he sound like him. With the haircut and the mustache.
Oh, that's definitely going in there.
Yeah. So anyway, man. So he's a party man. And I like the cat and mouse thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, I knew it was going to be a girl that he was chasing. And when the robot bust out, the little baby robot.
Yeah.
I thought it was so cool. It looked great.
It did.
And she's in there running, the little girl. But I don't know how I felt about. I didn't know how I felt about the little girl at the beginning. And she kind of annoyed me slightly throughout the movie. It's that little kid scrappiness.
Badass little kids.
Yes.
How do you feel about that, Tiff? I was thinking about you.
You know I hate badass little kids. I think it's not as bad because she's a little older.
It was like borderline.
But they don't. I think they did an okay job because. So can I skip ahead a little bit to explain my feelings about her?
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. But you know how like they like later do a little bit of drift compatibility and we see her backstory?
Yeah.
The backstories were not as poignant in this one as they were in the first one.
I thought it was like almost damn near the same thing with,
yeah,
you know. With,
yeah, the monster well, separating.
Well, and then yeah. wipe out the family in
yeah,
front of her.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
It wasn't as epic.
I gave her a pass.
Right. Like, I just feel like I didn't. Okay. It right. seemed I will say cheap. One other thing I don't like. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I just. It didn't seem like they spent as much money as they did with what's the girl from the first one. What's her name? It wasn't Luann. It was
Mako Mori.
Mako, yeah, Mako. Her story. It's like they spent like half the budget of the film in her flashback.
Oh, talking about the daughter.
Yeah, yeah, you know, yes. with yeah. the slow motion monster. I mean, that yeah, was right, yeah. it was a story within itself. But this one, it seemed like it was. They didn't spend as much money. It wasn't as big. Oh, so yeah. that's, well, what, I mean, that's it, how I thought about it.
Well, I figure, you know, it's fast. Get it out the way.
So go ahead, Tiff.
Oh, he does not. So in the first one, do you remember? I don't remember him having a son.
They never mentioned it.
Right. So this is kind of like an additional. And I feel like it's kind of poo-poo because, like, it makes his sacrifice a little bit more cheap in my mind, even though I know that it should make it greater, because it's like, if you have a young son, well, I don't know,
it's an after right. So because if he existed in the first movie, he would at least say it before he put that suit on, I need you to get my son on the line, you know.
Yes. Right,
you know, but that didn't
I know,
happen.
So it's like, it's a way to make, and I don't like it when they do stuff like that.
And aren't they like the same age, kind of? No. The daughter and the...
Oh, yeah, they're the same age, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Here's a big problem for me with this movie. Well, we're skipping so ahead, but...
But that's what we do. We like skip around, right?
Yeah, that's true. But the biggest problem for me was the missing of... The missing hero from the first movie. What was his name?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't even there as a trainer, yeah, or anything yeah, like yeah, that.
Well, there's some very slick things that they did with that. Raleigh okay. was the character. They didn't have him with the dead heroes as heroes.
Oh, yeah, right.
See, because he wanted to do this movie bad, but he was doing that King Arthur movie, and the schedules conflicted, so he could not do this movie.
Okay.
And so they noticed they mentioned him, but they didn't say he was dead.
Right, right.
They didn't say any of that, but if it's something this big in the end of the world, where was he? You know? So anyway, going back. So I like this little police robot that was chasing a little girl. That was cool. All this shit looks great, this beginning. And the way they recruited him, how they didn't take forever to bring him in.
Right.
And, you know, she introduced it to the new recruits and stuff. You know, they explained it was doing them younger and stuff. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And I did like the fact that made sense. Like, yeah. You would recruit them younger because if you grew up with somebody, you would drift with them easier.
Yeah, and it's less garbage in their mind, too. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, like trauma garbage.
Yeah, like trauma garbage. Right, she broke my heart. You know, I hate him.
I saw this. I did that.
Exactly. Right. So, doing a lot of things right here in the beginning.
Yeah, they are.
And John Boyega's character is, like, really holding together.
It is.
Now, they bring in Scott Eastwood, right?
Yeah.
He looks terrible in this movie, and they keep talking about how handsome he looks. I'm like, he looks so pointy.
I thought he looked so handsome. I said, man, he looks just like his daddy.
No.
Okay.
Ugly.
I thought he looked good.
Well, I didn't have a say in either. So.
No.
I mean, how he looked. No, I didn't give a shit.
I know. Here's a problem too. Mm-hmm. The little romance with the girl, with the hot Latin girl.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It never really went anywhere.
It fell very flat.
It fell flat, though. They didn't develop. It was like a side story. Go ahead, Tiff.
Well, I think, like, they maybe are thinking they want to have a second one where they develop, a third one where they develop the romance
I think it hit the cutting room floor.
Oh.
I think it was probably some other stuff going on, and it just didn't make it.
But the movie was not that long. It was like an hour and 40 minutes, right?
Right.
Yeah, but they had a lot going on, and that was like, you know, yeah, you can do that later, but I think it hit the cutting room floor, and it felt a little out of place and a little unprofessional, too, to me. You know, I'm like, really? Y'all kissing and stuff? You know,
she just kissed him on the cheek, man. She just kissed him on the cheek.
Yeah, but it seemed, it was like...
Let a woman kiss you like that on the cheek when your wife's standing right there and see if it'll fly.
What the fuck? Look, man.
What are you talking about? Wait.
That is different.
It's not even in the same ballpark.
It is in the same ballpark.
She kissed one dude on the cheek, then she kissed another dude on the cheek.
It's the way she did it, man. It wasn't a...
It was like on the neck, too.
It was on... Right. It was a sensual kiss cheek.
Okay, but it was two guys. It wasn't like she did it in front of his... You know what I mean? In front of his woman.
That's not my point. My point is... I wouldn't let no woman kiss me like that.
At work.
Because it's like halfway inappropriate. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa. But
shit, and under the circumstances, we about to fight monsters, man. We about, you know what I'm saying? These monsters is trying to kill us.
In so, the military. You
know, yeah. Well, hey, man. Yeah. Like I said, under the circumstances, dude.
They just blew everything. I want to talk about the most annoying scene in this movie, or one of the most annoying scenes in this movie.
What's that?
When he's eating ice cream.
Yeah, I think that
was supposed to be a charming scene between the two of them, but I found it very irritating.
It wasn't funny. No, it fell flat.
And I think it does fall flat, and I think a lot of things in this movie, part of my problem is the dialogue is not very good.
Yeah.
Like, the humor isn't very good. They try to make it too humorous when it's a movie about...
The end of the world.
In the first movie, end of the world, right. In the first movie, there's humorous stuff that happens organically, because even when there's a tragedy, funny things happen, or we laugh to deal with the trauma that we're experiencing.
Uh-huh.
However, this movie just seemed a little bit more forced. And also, did you notice that they did the titular thing where they're like, they're coming to the Pacific Rim?
Yeah, right.
I was like, are you fucking serious? Right. Like, we don't need you. To do that.
Let me tell you what they got right in this movie. They had a fight at the UN with the big robot and the rogue robot that came out the ocean.
Mm.
One of the best things of the whole movie. I dug this. This was, it looked good. It didn't look fake. It was in the broad daylight. Mm. And it was a nice fight with the swords and falling into the buildings. And Mako was in a helicopter and she's trying to send the stuff. Now this is what they got right. Mm. This is a good scene. I'm like, I'm digging this because it was just dope.
That is a good scene.
Yeah. And Charlie Day comes in and the way they did his character, you know, being all weird. He wasn't bumbling. He made money and stuff.
Yeah, he did. But,
and, you know, him. How do we feel about him being a bad guy?
I seen it coming. Well, no, I didn't see it coming. It was...
I don't know.
He did...
Come on, Spoo. Spit it out.
I mean, it didn't bother me. It was an interesting bad guy, you know.
Tiff?
I thought he made it a little too mad scientist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It went a little too hammy for me, where mm-hmm. I was like, I get it. You are kind of a whack job because you've been interfacing with the brain.
Mm.
I thought it was good writing, though. I mean, for you to bring the creatures back when it was supposed to be closed, I thought it was good. I thought that was good writing. I appreciate that.
No, the concept is there. I do think that makes sense, and it actually makes sense for his character to keep doing that, because when they drifted with the monster. Like, all of the... Here's the thing. All of this movie makes sense.
Yes, it did.
They did a very good job.
It did.
Like, making it, like, okay, this is what would happen. Yeah, that... And it seems... I also really liked... One of the things they did right was... Okay, so the plot of this movie is basically that, like, they want to have an artificial intelligence control... Like, so you can remotely control the Jaeger. Yeah, you reduce mm-hmm. the risk to the pilot.
Right.
And what happened is he had been interfacing with the brains, which like were now controlling him.
Right.
And he decided to put little pieces of the brains, and so it became kind of like a monster.
Was it a
machine
Kaijan?
Hybrid?
Yeah, Kaijan, whatever.
So it made sense, Kaiju. So it made sense that like, it was a new monster. It was a new threat. It wasn't like, oh, actually, the threat's not over.
Hey, Tefobot.
Do you know what I mean?
Really cool.
I didn't like that shit.
I really liked that.
I didn't.
You didn't like it?
When the spikes came out the creatures, I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's something different. And that gives the movie its own stamp.
Right. And it makes, like, that's a legitimate thing that given the parameters of this storytelling universe, is legitimate. Like,
right.
You could say that could happen. It's not something that you'd be like, well, that wouldn't happen. It makes sense in the universe.
Now, something else they did good. The fight in the snow with the rogue robot.
They discover that that's what's happening, they blow it open, like that, the scenes with the two robots are the best fight scenes in the whole movie.
They are. That's what I want to pay my money for. And they're fighting. And they let it go for a while, so it's not just like a big... Like, you know, Transformers will get all messy with the clink, 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 and you don't know what's happening. But you can, you're actually seeing, like, movements and stuff. And then there's the brain there. Now, let's talk about the worst part of the movie.
Which was what?
Me and my daughter was having such a ball in this movie when those three creatures were coming over the buildings. Right. It looked like dudes in suits, man. It looked like an old Transformers even.
Right, yeah. And my thing is, these... You guys are supposed to be protecting it, man. You guys are just fucking up the building's work. I mean, that's how I looked at it. These guys, are
right?
Just,
like when the one puts its two swords out and runs along the building. Yes. With them, it's like, what's the point of that besides just to destroy buildings?
Right.
Did y'all notice that they made the announcement? All of the civilians are in the shelters. Yes.
The right, one, right, yeah, one, don't do that. Yeah. I don't care if everyone's surviving because what's making a risk to these people is that they aren't.
Right.
Like, what gives a legitimacy to the movie, some agency and some legitimacy, is that maybe people might die and you have to be careful.
Oh, you should have sold people getting smashed left and right.
Yeah, yeah, they show, right. Screaming, but then they show like the kaiju smashing those people. So it's not true.
Right, there was some death. No, that happened before.
Right. Before they went.
They were clearing out everything.
Yeah.
But dude,
going to the bottom.
When those three were fighting, they were rubber suits. They were so funny, man. Me and my man, we cracked up, and I was like, I shouldn't be laughing at this. I was before they combined.
Right.
I was like, this ain't supposed to be funny. But see, y'all messed up. Y'all should have shot it in the dark. And y'all shouldn't have made, I don't think the creature should have been bipedal, because instantly when it turned into the bigger creature, it looked better.
It did.
Yes, it did look better. But even then, I was disappointed that our main fight turned into one fight, and then it was kind of our big fight kind of just fizzled out a little.
Yeah, it did with the rocket down. I like how the CEO came in and saved the day.
That CEO. She was so cute.
Well, I guess
I just loved her. Like and then she tried really hard, and she turned out. I loved how they made her seem like she was going to be the bad guy.
Oh, she was supposed to be the mega bitch. And
right.
Yeah, but then she turns out that she wasn't. Oh, I mean, I loved that. I loved her specifically.
That was good writing, too. So that's something they did right. But there's a lot of stuff they did wrong, though.
Some of the dialogue is just bad. The interactions aren't that good. The chemistry between the cast is not that great. I find John Boyega very charming, and I feel like he fell flat a little bit in this movie.
Yeah, he seemed like he was trying so hard. I tell you what else looked bad. I don't know. Why didn't they just get the suits from the first movie? Dust them off.
And why didn't they just use like, and also I also one thing I really disliked, which is really stupid. So I'm sorry. This is a stupid complaint, but I have it.
Okay.
The names of the Jaegers in the first movie are awesome.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You didn't like Athena.
The names of the Jaegers in this one are dumb.
Well,
I didn't mind them.
I didn't mind me. What was it? Athena Red or
something like that.
Yeah. And then there was
Athena Blade or something like that.
Okay.
Well,
Athena Saber.
Okay. And then it was another one. Kavil was all of them. Yeah, but she was naming them all. Yeah.
Yeah, but the first ones were just better. I'm sorry.
Well, I tell you, when they showed those suits in the light, and all they were just like a big body glove with metal sewn on them.
Yeah.
They look bad, dude.
Yeah.
In the first movie, they were actually puzzle pieces that was fitting together, so they didn't look good in the daytime. They should have shot that last scene at night. So some choices. I know they wanted this to have a totally different look from the first one. They didn't want it to be at night and all that stuff, and feel like such a copy. But sometimes copying is good because it worked really well.
Yeah, that's true.
Them creatures running over top of them buildings, man. it wasn't nothing funnier, man. It looked so bad.
It seemed the thing, and I say this a lot about movies, where like the meat is there.
Yeah, they had some good writing. It was believable, and it was a nice story. You needed the guy from the first movie back in it too, though. I think it would have made more sense for him to be the Scott Eastwood character if you wanted to introduce John Boyega into the situation.
But it's made his money back, though.
Yeah.
Already, worldwide, it made his money back. The budget was, what, $150 million?
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it made $152 worldwide. So
that's
far.
That's not successful yet, though.
No, but it's still early. Yeah. By this date that they have right here, March 28th.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made his money back, so hopefully.
It got to make more money than to be successful, though, especially worldwide.
I think, I think you'll notice that in this movie, they speak a lot of Chinese.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And that is because I think the first one was really very successful in China.
Yeah.
And they've said that a lot of stuff was happening by Mount Fuji.
Yeah, well, they did that. And I don't know.
Now, how did you like the Mount Fuji scene, though?
I thought it was okay.
Here's
my thing, man.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't that... Oh, I'm sorry.
I just... Listen, I liked the movie, but it had a lot of problems. I shouldn't be laughing at the movie in the middle of the movie, because I was laughing at the movie.
Right.
You know, and I was like, I'm laughing at it, and I'm not laughing with it.
I saw this movie with my friend Austin.
Okay.
And she was like, that was terrible.
Okay.
And then she texted me afterwards. I think we would be good at drifting in a Jaeger since it seems to be heavily based on trauma bonding.
Oh, damn, Tiff. Get out of here.
And then I said, we would be called Sadness Jacket.
Said Sadness Jacket. Wow.
That's our Jaeger, Sadness right. Jacket.
Dwayne, we would have problems. We would just be like giving each other loop feedback. Right. Get your shit together. Get it together. Oh, shit.
Right. I liked, remember the first one had the Crimson Typhoon was the three-armed, three-manned.
Yeah.
And this one had a three-man one, but it didn't.
I kind of like the gun. I like the gun seat, though.
I did, too. That was hard. I like the gun seat. I did like that.
I like when she went down to the
gun seat. That was cool. See, that's what I'm saying. There's something they do really well.
Yeah.
I did like that.
And she was lighting them up, too, with them suckers. Boop, 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 boop. I'm like, that's kind of dope.
Yeah, especially when he said, get the six. Get it outside our six. She spit. Yeah, she's like, oh, yeah. That was raw. Yeah, that was raw. I like that.
Well, I think that's it, man. I think we didn't talk about it. And y'all see for yourself. What you got to say, Smooth? You got something
else? No, I did like how the scrap. I liked her cop pick that it was just one man.
Yeah, with the little sliding.
I did like that. Yeah. I like that.
It has some stuff, but I would probably buy it because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know,
it was entertaining. Yeah, it was entertaining.
Some of the robot to robot fight scenes were awesome, dude. I mean, you got me.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
You got me with robots fighting.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Oh shoot! So I think we came to do the damn thing. We got it done, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh shoot! Next week we're gonna probably do Ready Player One.
Oh, Ready Player One,
little video game movie. So, I'm the host of Fanjo Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. Shout out to the Cosmic Geppetto Podcast, fellas. Thanks for coming on. And Tiffobot, what you got?
Well, it's been a pleasure as always, and especially thank you to the Cosmic Geppetto guys for coming on and. Thank you to my lovely co-host, as always.
Oh,
shucks. Oh, I'm going to be plugged over here.
Smooth.
Yo, SMWVE, Smooth, not Dwayne. And it's groovy, as always.
All right. Yeah. And so until next week, we will be on TIFF.
We're not going to be on you. We're
going to
say on Tiffany, right?
Yeah, we're not going to be on you.
Well, I was going to get out. 1, 2, 3.
All right.
1, 2, 3. On patrol.
Perfect.
That might be.